Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
So it was like 1990, so that's, we're pushing 30 years ago, that I was invited to a diner. And it was John Kelly who sat me down and said, there's this little home group up in the mountains, and we thought maybe you'd be a good fit for that place. He said, I'm going to send you up there. They'll try you out, and we'll see if they like you or not, is what he said. Afterwards, I was invited here. So in 1991, Nancy and I moved here, and thus began our wonderful experience here in Margaretville, starting down in Dunraven and buying the Great American Building and building that out, and then our chapel, and then, and none of this would have happened without Apostle John Kelly, and we have the great honor of having him here in our house today. Ladies and gentlemen, Apostle John Kelly.
It's great to be here, amen. I love coming here because one of the things I enjoy is I enjoy the worship time. You know, there's a lot of churches that make a lot of noise. But I like to be where the worship team touches God, because I'm out there in the battle all the time. I mean, I'm under constant attack, and I just need a place sometimes where just come in. And right in the middle of a crowd, be in the secret place. You know, and we are simply the children of God. We are the children of God. And at 75, it's great to be a child. So it's great to be in that category, amen? So I just appreciate, and I come here every year primarily. And to be honest with you, I come here because, to me, it's a sabbatical coming here. It's a sabbatical because when you're out on the firing line, there's times when you just got to get out of the warfare. And not that you don't have warfare here, but it's a place where I can just have a sabbatical, and I just love riding around the mountains, you know, talking to Apostle Robert, to Pastor Robert, and just getting into his head, and the two of us just going at it with scripture and theology, and we have a great time. And then I like hot riding around in Renard's car. Hallelujah. He's sorry he ever trusted me to drive it one time, but he's getting over it. He's getting a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Remember that ride? Huh? Never told her, right? And by the way, Pastor Robert and I, we're going to be writing a book together called Discerning the Body of Christ. And after that, we have a follow-up book that we're going to be writing on the kingdom of God. And we're going to be looking at it from various views, various angles, and looking at it from a biblical and a theological point of view, but also looking at it as far as how do you work that out in real life? How do you work that out in real life? And really, what is the purpose and the function of the church? And in this whole term with ecclesia and how that is within the context of the body of Christ. And so, and he is the head, amen? And so we are a part of a theocracy, and we are a part of the government of God. And so it all begins with He is the head and we are the body. And all things are under His feet. Amen? Praise God. Hey, I want you to know, too, that you're part of a great thing. We are, you know, the International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders, which I convene. I don't say I lead, but I convene. And really, it's not an organization. It's really a movement. I have no desire to be the leader of an organization, none at all. I want to be a part of a movement, and I want to be a part of a movement that is full of revolutionaries. And our whole purpose of the International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders is to raise up indigenous national coalitions in the nations of this world. Next month, I'll be in Bogota, Colombia. I'll be in Guayaquil, Ecuador, and I'll be in Mexico City, all with coalitions. Hundreds of apostolic leaders who are now catching on to the fact that there's not one nation in the world where the church is not under attack. Hello? Where the church is not under attack. Every nation in the world, in one way or another. In parts of Africa, they're burning down churches. They're killing Christians. Same thing in the Far East. They're doing the same thing. And they're passing laws and legislations throughout Africa, throughout Central and South America, throughout the North Americas, Australia, you know, all over the world, Asia. They're passing laws and legislations that will absolutely have a negative and adverse effect on the church. And it's time the church raises up and understands that we are called to be revolutionaries. We are called to be revolutionaries. That's what we are. The restoration of the apostolic is not about the restoration of a gift. It's about the beginning of a revolutionary movement that has to do with the ecclesia, with the body of Christ, being a spiritual, political, and economic influence in the nation that it resides, or the city it resides in. And you're all a part of that, amen? So even though the Rabbi Gamliel said, for these are the people that are turning the world upside down, he had it wrong, because the world is upside down. We are the people turning it right side up. We are living in an upside down world, but we got a right side up God, because we are the right upside church. Are you ready? I want you to go with me to Kings and go into the Second Kings, and we're going to be in chapter 13. And I want to share with you something that comes from... Can I be personal with you this morning? I want to be personal with you this morning. And I went through something just September of last year. In September of last year, I was in New Jersey. And I was in Vineland, New Jersey, and I had an incident happen to me. But we'll get into that in a moment. But beginning here in verse 14... In 2 Kings chapter 13, it says here, now Elijah was fallen. He was fallen sick, and of a sickness whereof he died. Now Elijah, as we all know, was a spiritual son of Elijah. But what many don't know, but what many biblical historians know, is that he actually did greater works than Elijah, and considered by many to even be a greater prophet than Elijah, because he received the double blessing. When Elijah was taken up and ascended into heaven, and he saw him there, and the mantle came down upon Elijah, he received the double blessing. He received a portion of the anointing that he would have had without Elijah, but then he also received Elijah's anointing as a prophet. So he was not only a prophet, he was a prophet of the double anointing, the double blessing. And he was a prophet of great reproduction within the land. And as that, his main thrust was restoring the kingdom of God to the nation. And they were restoring the kingdom of God by a method called warfare, natural warfare. And he was a great prophet, not only in miracles and signs and wonders, but in national change and reformation. And so here he is. He's literally on his deathbed. And over a year ago, I was on my deathbed. I had walked onto a platform in Vineland, New Jersey to preach at a church. This was like the first church I ever preached in when I, as a young preacher over 45 years ago. And just an amazing, but now they had a brand new building. They had umpteen acres. They had a congregation that held 1,000. When I preached there, I think they had about 50 people my first time I preached. And they had all these microphones up on the front here, and all the wires were here, and I was coming up to the platform, and I tripped and fell and hit what they call a spider box. And a couple days later, I felt this tremendous pain, and I started passing out. They took me to the emergency room. When I got there, I went into what they call shock, and all of my enzymes, my heart enzymes, my blood pressure was down in the 50s. Everything was going down, and they said, we can't handle him. He has to go to a bigger hospital where they have a cardiac doctor. And they got an ambulance in there at that emergency room of that hospital, got me to another hospital, totally different hospital, and they right away with the cardiac, everything, and they began to try to figure out what I was, and this doctor came in there, and she started screaming and hollering and said, bottles, everything, just haul him down to MRI, took me down to MRI, put me through the MRI machine, and came up that I had a lacerated kidney. Is what I had, and I was bleeding out, and they eventually had to put 3 transfusions of blood in me, and I was in ICU for 5 days as I was recovering. And one of the things that happened to me was, I know people that have been through a similar thing, you know, where they're at death's door and they talk about quoting scripture. Come on. They talk about how they warred in the spirit. Frankly, I did none of that. I did none of that because I felt good. Hello? I just had that peace. I just was at peace. Just that peace that passes all human understanding. And it was like I just kept hearing, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Because you see, no matter what happened in the coming minutes, there was no way I could lose. No way I could lose, because whether I live or die, I win. Because it's life everlasting. You see, we have to understand something. We die in Christ. And when we die in Christ, we live everlasting. And so there was no way I could lose, so I was at peace. But then something else happened, and I began to realize I am going to be raised up out of here. And so even though they were doing all this, and they had all these bottles on me, and then they took me up to ICU, they started with the first transfusion. Even though all of that was taking place, there was this tremendous sense of life. And one of the things that kept coming to me as I was laying there was this, is that somehow, some way, the promises of God would be fulfilled. Now, I'm one of these people, I have trouble sleeping. I don't know about you, but I have trouble sleeping because I lay down and I start thinking. But one of the things I start thinking about is tomorrow. I start thinking about plans. I start thinking about strategies. I start thinking about how am I going to relate to that particular leader, and how am I going to speak on that, and how are we going to deal with this situation, and how are we going to deal with what's happening in Rwanda versus what's happening down in Brazil? How are we going to do all these things? And I'm so excited, I can't wait to wake up. So I'm laying there, and it dawns on me, well, wait a minute. There are things that God told me that are going to happen when I'm 80, yes, when I'm 80. And that there are other things that are going to happen. They haven't happened, so therefore, I guess I'm going through. Hello? I'm going through because I got a promise. But you see, the other thing is there's a passion. And so here the prophet of God, Elijah, he's laying on his deathbed. He has a sickness. They don't know what it is, but he's dying. He's going to die. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face. and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elijah said unto him, now, here's what's happening. It don't matter whether he's dying or not, he's a prophet. Is somebody with me? And he's a prophet that's got a promise contained within him. And he not only has that, but he has a passion. And he says, to the king, "Take bow and arrows." Laying in bed dying, he's given a simple instruction. When God speaks to us, he doesn't speak to us in some kind of a complicated way. He doesn't speak to us in a convoluted way. He gives us simple, three-word, four-word instructions. Very clear. And so he's sharing, so he gives him a simple instruction. Take the bow. Take the arrows. So the king goes over wherever that bow and arrow is, those arrows are, and he picks them up. And then, it says here, and he said to the king of Israel, "Put thy hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it, and Elijah put his hands upon the king's hands. You know what happened? He got up. He got up out of that bed. Come on, come here, sir. Come here. Right here. Front and center. Right here. So you got the king. He's got the bow in this hand. He's got an arrow in this hand. And he tells him, put the arrow in the bow. And then, after he tells him to do that, Elijah gets out of the bed. He's a dead man walking. He's a dead man walking. Because what he's about to say, he has such a passion for. And he put his hand upon it, and Elijah put his hand upon the king's hand. He gets behind him and puts his hand right there on the bow. And then he says, "Pull back the arrow." The window's open. The curtains are open. Shoot! And he lets go of the arrow. And he shoots the arrow right out the window. And then he says to the king, he says this to him, "Take the arrows and strike the ground." Take the arrows. Strike the ground. So, the king takes the arrows. And he says, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria now shall smite the Syrians in a paycheck until thou hast consumed them." So he's saying to the king that thing you're trying to overcome, this is when you're going to overcome it. So he's saying to the king, that's a sign, that's a prophetic action, that's a prophetic symbol of what's about to happen when you release the arrows of the army of God against the Assyrians. You will have victory. And so, he took them unto the king of Israel, and he smite the ground. And so, here's how he does it. Joash the king gets the arrows, and he goes, all of a sudden, Uzziah gets up again out of the bed, and he's angry. And he says to him, "What are you doing? What are you doing? You should have smite the ground 6-7 times. Because he just gave him a word. He got enough passion. A dead man has enough passion to get out of a bed, to give a word and to give a prophetic action to a king about the coming victory, and the king goes, Sometimes a word of God can be flowing to us, and we're like, oh, hmm. Sometimes God is speaking to you and you are right on the precipice of that breakthrough. And it's kind of like when the one that gives the word has a greater passion than you do for that prophetic word, guess what? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because you should have a greater passion than the one that gave it. Because the reason why the king was crying is because of the accuracy of the words that Elisha had given him in the past. Man, you gave me the word. Man, that word changed my life. That word just took me from an immature young boy as a king to a mighty warrior as a king. Man, you gave me the word. Now there's no word. You're dying, and I'm crying. But the thing is, the dying man has more passion than the living one. He's got more passion than the one that's 3-4 generations younger than him. Got enough passion to get out of a dying bed. And the king, you know, we got people that got belief, but they don't have faith. Because faith moves on love. Faith works by passion. You got to have a passion for it. You know, anything that you're involved in, whether it's business, whether it's ministry, whether it's ministry, whether it's business, whether it's raising children, whatever it is, if you don't have a passion for it, there's not going to be a great result. It's just not going to be there. Because it's passion that gives you the drive to pursue a thing. That's what passion does. Anything you have a passion for, you will pursue it till you overcome it. Anything you have a passion for, you will pursue it till you achieve it. And so, the king just doesn't have it. He's got the word of victory. I mean, the greatest prophet in the world could come in here and give a prophecy. One of you could have a dream so powerful from God, it's incredible. You get up and you speak it on Sunday morning, and it could absolutely flop because those that you may be speaking to do not have the passion. But those that have the passion will. It's not based on age. It's not an age thing. It's a faith thing. And so here he is. Here he is, and he's in this situation. And Elijah says to him, he says, thou should have smitten 5-6 times, then hast smitten Syria till hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smit but thrice. In other words, he was saying, instead of going like this, you should have been going like this. Now he says, you're going to be in 6 battles, but you're only going to win 3. Now listen, if you're a general, if you're the owner of a business, hello? Yes. If you're the leader of a home, if you're of anything, and you're going to have 6 battles, but you're going to only win 3, you better hope it's the last 3 and not the first 3. Because if it's the first 3, you're in trouble. Hello? I mean, a fighter can lose every round, but if he knocks the guy out in the last one, he wins. But Elijah's telling him, it's only the first 3. It's only the first 3. And Elijah immediately died. He died as soon as he spoke it. He passed. Why? Because his prophetic word, his prophetic promise, full of passion, had no hope. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. And Elijah died with a sick heart. He died with a sick heart. And what happened was, several months later, three battles, within a couple of months, the last three battles, and in the last battle, Joash himself was even slaughtered. He was put to death. Joash lost his life in battle. And so, then it happens. Verse 20, it says, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. Amen. Hallelujah. It's never too late to be revived, church. It's never too late to receive that promise, that, come on, to receive that passion. It's never too late. He's going to put us all right back on our feet. I see God's talking to me. He's going to put this church back on its feet. He's reviving. We are coming in to a point of reviving. Get ready for a new revival this coming winter, this coming fall. It'll begin in the fall, and it will go all through the winter. God is going to do a new thing, and he's going to take you all on the winning side. On the winning side. I want you, can you all just stand up for a moment? Just if you can. Hallelujah. Some of us at my age have trouble standing up. Hallelujah. And I want you to do this. This is your bow. These are your arrows, right? I want you to take it and just start clapping. Stop. Stop. Now do this. Watch me. Do what I do. Clap like this. But we got a promise. We got a prophetic word. Because we are the warriors of that anointing. Get ready, church. Get ready for this new thing that God's about to do. Amen.
Hey guys, this is Jake Johnson coming to you from our On Fire radio studio. We pray this message has encouraged you. And maybe you're listening today and would say, Jake, I want to join this cause. How do I start? Well, I'll tell you, because of our sins, there's no way that we can make it to heaven on our own. But God did send Jesus, his son, to die for our sins. And Jesus said that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So pray with me today and begin a new life with God. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I believe you lived a perfect life and died on a cross as a sacrifice for my sins. I repent for my sins today, and I place my life in your hands. I give you all that I have, and I ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. And fill me now with the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward today into a new life with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible. Download a free app on your phone. It's called YouVersion, the Bible app. You can start a Bible plan and start reading the Word of God. Start a prayer life and start spending time with God. And find a Bible-believing church. I want to take this time to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We're at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. We have church every Sunday at 10 a.m. and we would love for you to join us. Come find us and let us know that you've been listening to On Fire Radio. And if this word has ministered to you today, would you consider giving to the work of On Fire Radio? On Fire Radio is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can give online, and you can also find out more about CMCC and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.